Very important message for us. The Lord gave it to me about 2 weeks ago. You know, in fact, these days now, to the glory of God, and I share this, one, as a testimony, two, as an instruction. I get my messages as when I'm reading my Bible. My normal Bible reading, you know, and he'll just stop me in a particular verse or a particular something and say, and in 2 minutes or a minute, the whole thing is like downloading on a computer. I just get it, and I have to write it down immediately, otherwise I'll forget, you know, because it's not me, you know. And this is one of them, and I have entitled it Overcoming Deadly Sins. Let us bow to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Good Shepherd. We thank you. Thank you for this table you spread in our sight. Thank you, Lord, for your unction that grace bestows. As I come to share the word now, I pray that unction to be upon me afresh, that I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. So from this chalice, this pure chalice, you know, your word will flow from you through me to your people, a pure word that will do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released, Lord God, in great measure to follow the words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, as these words are heard, your word says they sent his word and healed them. Let there be healing, let there be deliverance. Break yokes, free men, so they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word indeed with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed into the kingdom, in Jesus' name. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned that prayer in their individual life, agreed and said, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the first 11 verses, I will read. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, and like Derek Prince used to say, and following. I always loved listening to Derek Prince. He taught with such a wonderful unction and clarity. Let us read together. 1, 2, let's go. Moreover, brethren, I didn't hear you folks. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you a brother? He's talking to you. So let's we need to find out what he has to say to us. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Let me just stop there. He's using the journey of the children of Israel as a spiritual type. We know they weren't baptized at that time. He's using it as a typology to explain what he's talking about to us. And he says they were all baptized unto Moses. Now, we all know that there was no water baptism when they came out of Egypt. They did, but they went through the Red Sea, and they also had the experience of the cloud of glory being upon them. So he's using those as a type of our water baptism today, a type of our baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Oh, we're just talking about, you know, that I spread this table in my sight. It's food, but it's not physical food, it's spiritual food, you know. They did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock, and that rock, and that rock was Christ. Now, you need to, you know, visualize what happened. I think the deliverance out of Egypt and the march through the wilderness, even though it was supposed to take just a few days, like 10 or 15 days, went on to 40 years because of their disobedience. is still one of the most outstanding, staggering series of miracles God has ever done. We haven't had a duplicate of it since that time. But I believe we're going to see things like that in the end time. Why? The Bible says that every jot and every tittle will be fulfilled. He said all the things that were written, you know, it's going to be fulfilled, you know, in this end time. We're about to see the greatest display of God's power that the earth has ever seen. Can you imagine 3 million people? We're told, you know, in the book of Numbers, there were 600,000 footmen. He's talking about mature adults who were 20 years old and over. Then beside the women and children. So you're looking, you know, when you do a statistical analysis, you're looking, say, about 3 million people. Now, how do you take 3 million people through a desert? Remember, back in those days, even today, you know, there was no public water works. Hello? Occasionally, they would come to an oasis where there was water, but most of the time, they weren't an oasis. They were just in the pure desert. How do you give water to 3 million people inside the desert? That's what we're talking about. There was a rock. It was a spiritual rock. And everywhere they went, that rock followed them. And it is from that rock water came. It was gushing like, you know, like a spring. And all the people would go to the place, collect their water. That's what they used to have their bath, wash their clothes, kill the animals, all the animal sacrifices. You know, you can imagine how much water you needed. You know, with all the blood and all of that, you have to flay the animals. Come on, folks. You know, when we read this Bible, we need to read it with understanding. And, you know, when you recognize what God, you find out this God. We were singing the other time. It's not just a song. Awesome God. And when I'm singing, those are the kind of things I'm thinking about. Awesome God. And that rock that followed them was Christ. And they drank of that spiritual rock. It was physical water they were drinking, but it was spiritual because the origin was not natural. It wasn't from a river. It wasn't from a well. It wasn't natural water. It was water, but it didn't come. It came from God. Just like the manna. The manna came from heaven. It was physical, natural food. The Bible calls it angel's food. God hasn't done, he hasn't done anything like that since that time. You know, where the food came from heaven, the water, you know, was flowing with them. Taking care of 3 million people. Women, children, babies. You can imagine the kind of epidemic that would have happened if God hadn't controlled what was going on in that place. Those of those in public health will tell you. Yeah, it's 3 million people. And the Bible says there was not one feeble person among the tribes. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. How do you keep 3 million people healthy inside the desert? Baptized in water, baptized. They had natural air conditioning.
Yes, sir.
24/7. That was the cloud. It wasn't just in one place. Wherever they were, it was in the tabernacle, then it will rise and then it will spread and covered all the Israelites during the day, shade from the sun. Then at night, it will be fire, giving them warmth. Give the Lord another clap offering. This God is great. He's an awesome God. We need demonstrations like that in this end time. So our guys will see, and then the Bible says every mouth will be shut. Next verse 5. But now this is where the message comes. With many of them, God was not well pleased. The Greek says with the majority. But with many of them, these people who ate spiritual food, these people who drank spiritual water that came from the rock, these people, their shoes didn't wear. Their feet did not swell. There was no feeble person among their tribe. Yet, with many of them, God was not well pleased. Why? For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Let's say it simply, they didn't make it to the promised land. When you don't make it to the promised land, you're not pleasing God. Because God's purpose isn't just to take you out of Egypt, it's to take you out to bring you in. Hallelujah. It is sad
you know, and regrettable that a lot of the Pentecostal church, you know, and the Caribbean, they don't even know this. We keep celebrating coming out of Egypt. Coming out of Egypt is a first step. It's not our purpose. We came out of Egypt being a type of sin. We came out of Egypt and we're supposed to go through the wilderness, not live and die in the wilderness. We're supposed to go through it and then go to the promised land of the perfection of fullness of Christ. He brought us out to take us in. Are you listening to me? But with many of them, God wasn't pleased because they didn't understand their purpose. And most of them did not fulfill their purpose because they died in the wilderness. They went to heaven, but they suffered loss. They died in the wilderness. And it's the same thing is true today. You're born again, you're a child of God, it's filled with the Spirit of God, you speak in tongues, you know. But that's not the end. You're baptized in water, you're baptized in the cloud, which is a type of baptism of the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues. But that's not the end of it. Those are only tools to get you through the wilderness. They're tools to get you through the wilderness. If you're overthrown in the wilderness, God's not well pleased. Not pleased. Next verse. But now, these things were our examples to the intent. Now, you see, he's written a history of the children of Israel. He's now applying it to us, the church. This is now for us now. These things, I didn't hear you, were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. This is where the problem lies. Like somebody commented, one of the Bible commentators said, they came out of Egypt, but Egypt never came out of them. It's one thing to come out of Egypt, it's another thing for Egypt to come out of you. That's what we're talking about, perfection. Egypt coming out of you is the sin nature coming out of you. You came out of Egypt, but it's Egypt coming out of you. Or I used to desire the onions, the leeks, and the garlic. The Bible says in their heart, they turned back to Egypt. It's just like a lot of Christians today, we're going to get there in a minute, you know, who they envy unbelievers. Wow. They won't have money like the unbeliever. They won't have the kind of same car, same kind of house. And there's nothing wrong in that because God's promised you those things. But you can't get it the way the unbeliever gets it. And you have to learn to be content with what God has given you and then develop spiritually so that when it's God's time, He will bring it to you. For gain is not godliness. But if you don't have these things entrenched in your heart, you skew to these things, you know. They lusted after evil things because Egypt was still inside them. Next verse, verse 7. Thank you. Neither be idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. What does this mean? It means that, let's say it in a simple way, they were unserious. They indulge the flesh, you know, they don't pray, they don't walk in the spirit, they don't fast their life, you know, they sat down to eat and then they raise up to play. Have you noticed that is very common in our church today? I feel that in most churches you have to have some kind of entertainment or you don't keep the crowd. Hello? They'll bring all these clowns. Sit down to eat and drink, and they rise up to play. Whereas Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. They've turned the house of God into a circus. They sit down to eat and drink, and they rise up to play. I come as a prophet. Thank you. Look at the Message Bible. This guy is very serious. Look at that, man. I never even, thank you, Kule. You know, Bimbo, thanks for bringing that up. Everybody read it. This is a Message Bible. For we must not turn. I didn't look at this scripture. I just said it by the Spirit. We must not turn our religion into a circus as they did. First, the people partied. Then, they threw a dance. That's what I was talking about, the music. Even our music has become worldly. If you don't have that jim, 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 they don't like it. Especially among the young people. Because they've not been brought up to understand solemnity. There's nothing wrong in clapping and dancing. I believe in that and I do it. You know, I do it rigorously. You know, however, you know, that's not all God is. First they parted. Partay. Another message for another day. Let's get back to the word. Amen. They sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Next verse. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. This is endemic in the church. Today, sexual immorality is so rife, even among the leaders, because people don't know how to control their flesh. I remember one pastor, he was having issues in his marriage and all of that, you know. And I read what he said, you know. And he said, this is not a bad guy. It's a guy I even know, but you know. But I didn't approve of what he did, you know. And he said, I am first a man before I'm a pastor. It should be the other way around. Of course you're a man. But you see, you should not walk as mere men. You're no longer an ordinary man. You're not a divine man. Even the congregation are divine men. Talk less of you, a pastor. So you should be able to control your flesh. You're not first a man, then a pastor. You're first a child. You're a divine man. You're a man with the life of God inside you. So you should not behave like an ordinary man. But you know, because these things are not taught, you know. And he was appealing to people for people to understand that, you know, I'm a, you know, if I'm weak, you know, I'm a man. God. Mercy, Lord. Next verse. I thank God this is on YouTube. This is actually a prophetic message. Not prophetic in the terms of, you know, prediction and all of that, but prophetic in what the word church needs. And I know it's not going to be very palatable, but it doesn't matter. I've been instructed to preach the word in season, out of season, acceptable or unacceptable. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. This is the sin. I'm going to get into that, all of them, in a minute, but I'm getting ahead of myself. The sin of presumptuousness is so rife in the church. I'll use my faith. And they don't have the foundation to do the right thing. Then they're going to start tempting God. That's what Jesus told the devil when the devil said, go to the temple and go and jump. So when you jump, the angels will catch you. Because the Bible has said, it's giving his angels charge over you, which is true, but it was wrong application. It's not when you're going to start doing stupid things, you know, and then you want to now say God will do it anyway. There was one time in the Old Testament, it's not Numbers or somewhere, I don't know exactly where, I'll just say it, you know, and they wanted to go somewhere, and God said, don't go up. They said, oh, the Lord is with us, let's go up. When they went up, they were destroyed. You've got to walk with the Spirit. Have you noticed Jesus walked by the Spirit? The Bible says when they sought to kill him, he didn't walk. He didn't say, I use my faith. He said, when they sought to kill him, he walked no longer in jewelry. To walk in jewelry, when God is telling you not to walk in jewelry, is presumptuousness. And you can be destroyed by serpents. You will not be destroyed by serpents in Jesus' name. But these are warnings. Next verse. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Do you know that God hates murmuring? What's murmuring? Complaining. Have you noticed Christians always complaining? Some people, they don't say it with their mouth, but they say it in their heart. And some of them even say it with their mouth, but they will not say it. They will say it in a different kind of way. You know, as if, you know, when I was an unbeliever, I didn't have so many problems. Now I'm a Christian. I'll be murmuring, be complaining. God hates murmuring and complaining. If you are facing challenges, pray, and God will help you overcome them. Don't use your mouth. God didn't do this. God did that. God did that. I call them deadly sins. Verse 11. Thank you. Thank you, Bimbo, for this. Not discontentedly. Go back to that amplified. Thank you, Bimbo. Go back to that verse 10. not discontentedly, they were not content, complain as some of them did, and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. We're not preaching these things so that it will happen to you. We're preaching them so it will not happen to you. But it will not happen to you if you take heed to the warning. Keep complaining. Every little thing, any little inconvenience, Christians complain. It rained, they won't come to church. Because it rained. Or something happened to his car or something. When it's flimsy, any little thing. And we haven't sent you to China yet. Or Afghanistan. Or deep inside the bush somewhere. What are you going to do in a place? Yeah. What are you going to do in a place where, you know, you like where we went to the Adamawa Hills many years ago, you know, in the year 2000. Went with my elder. Ma didn't go with us up to the mountain. But, you know, I went with Pastor Andrew, I think, you know, some of the brethren, Pastor Larry, you know, quite a number of us. Elvon, too, because Elvon was recording what we were doing. And we all went, you know, we had a Jeep. That's the time when we had that. And I've forgotten the name of that Jeep. The Pajero. You know, the Jeep only could take us to the bottom of the mountain. You couldn't drive the Jeep off the mountain. So when we got to the bottom, we were with the brother there, Brother James Okunshola. He was in Mubi Hills. This is in Adamawa State, you know, after Yola. You know, we drove the Jeep. Thank God for the Jeep. It had aircon, it had everything. Thank God for that. But, you know, when we got to the place, you know, where we are going is in the mountain. The Jeep cannot get there. So we all had to get down from the Jeep and park the Jeep at the bottom of the mountain. Then we started. It took us 4 hours. We were climbing the rocks. And the mountain. It wasn't dangerous. I mean, there were footpaths and everything. But, you know, you were constantly rising. You know, we had, you know, Ragolis bottle with us. We'll drink a little bit of water. We'll go, you know. You know, we started, I can't remember. You know, we started maybe about 12 o'clock in the afternoon or 11 o'clock in the afternoon. It became night. We couldn't see anything. Brother James just said, Pastor Eshama telling me. If they wanted to sell us, they would have sold all of us that day. We had no idea where we were. But he, because he works there with the missionaries, you know, and there was one other Hausa man, you know, well, I'm sure it probably wasn't Hausa from one of the tribes, you know, who was our guide. So that one, so everybody, we have to stay in the same row so you don't get lost. And we were like that for hours, hours, hours. Until we finally got to the place and we now saw the mission house where some missionary brethren were working with some of the people that we went to preach to. Then they made food for us and everything. That climbing, it took us about 4, 5, 6 hours. So what are you going to do? You can't take your Jeep. You're going to complain? And then I leave you there for 3 weeks. Pastor Laolu is. Maybe God's giving me a revelation, Laolu. We must be used to. The Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we're going to live like that all the time. But it means that there will be times when you have to go and you suffer inconvenience. God doesn't want any complaint. There's no air conditioner there. The sun was so hot during the day when we were walking. We would have to stop. I remember we saw a spring where the water was coming from the rock. You know, it was as clean as the Ragolis. So we took empty Ragolis bottles, went to the spring and collected the water. You could drink it, no problem. Because it had gone through all the sedimentary layer of the earth and everything was pure. They should actually be mining it and using it to sell Ragolis water. Anyway, the point I'm making is that we must not complain simply because of some temporary difficulty or hardness. Any little thing, inconvenient, we don't want anything.
Verse 11. Jesus, help me.
Now, all these things happened unto them for what? and samples, and they are what? Written for who? Our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, what God expects you to learn from the mistakes of the children of Israel, so you don't do the same mistakes and you don't wind up the way they wound up, being overthrown in the wilderness. Are you listening to me? Now, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul to write this, and that's why I call them deadly sins. All sin is deadly, because sin, the wage of sin is death. But some sins will kill you faster than others. Hello, somebody. And that's why I've called them deadly sins. And I'm going to enumerate them. We've read them already, but I'm going to enumerate them, you know, one by one. The first sin he spoke about was idolatry. Idolatry. In the New Testament, idolatry is covetousness. What is covetousness? The Yoruba call it ojukokoro. You know, that's a person whose eye is always wanting something. You know, what it means is desiring some physical or material thing that is not the will of God for you at that time because of your level of spiritual growth. That's really the simple answer. Sure, God wants you to be blessed and he wants you to have all of these things. But it is as your soul prospers. When you now want something that is beyond the prosperity of your soul, you're grabbing for something that you do not have the spiritual capacity to handle. That inordinate desire is covetousness. And the New Testament calls it idolatry. That desire for that thing now becomes an idol in your heart. And is that all those idols, they're disturbing a lot of people's prayers. God says in Ezekiel chapter 13, somewhere there, you know, he says, I will answer them according to the idols of their heart. You know, there's so many idols in the hearts of so many people. They're believing God for things God never asked them to believe for at that time. Yes, the Bible says whatsoever things you desire. Sure, the Bible says that. But you cannot just take one scripture in isolation and interpret it. You have to look at all the other scriptures. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, then, you know, prosper as your soul prospers. Then, you know, he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. You've got to put to get the whole counsel of God. Yes. So it's the will of God. But you have to find out the timing, the place, and all of that. And all that. That's why walking in the Spirit, walking in what we're teaching during the Bible study, becomes crucial. It's so common in the church today. When they call it, you know, faith and all that, but a lot of it, not all of it, but some of it is idolatry. Some of it is idolatry. And the Bible says, don't be idolaters. He said that's because God killed them. You know, they were overthrown in the wilderness. The second one, you know, which I've written down here, I've extracted it from that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 11, is fornication. Or let's say sexual immorality. This spans everything from sex outside marriage, you know, whether you're married or not. You know, as a Christian, you're supposed to keep yourself pure sexually, you know. So any type of premarital or extramarital sex, you can lump it under fornication. You understand? Or adultery, you know. And then it spans right up to homosexuality. Any type of sexual perversion, you know, premarital sex, extramarital sex, you know, perverted sex, is all falls under this category, you know, because the actual word here, fornication, is sexual immorality, sexual perversion. So it captures all of those activities, and they kill you if you continue in it. If you've sinned and all things like that, go and repent and then don't, you know, avoid it. I'm going to get to that in a minute. You know, and you can overcome those things and you can avoid them. The third one, so the first one is idolatry, then fornication. Number three is presumptuousness. I spoke about that earlier on. Trying to use your faith in a foolish kind of way, in a way that God is not leading you to. Just to either show off or just, you know, just braggado, you know. We will go up at once. God said, don't go up. We will go up at one. God said, don't go. Many Christians are like that. I will go to Abuja. Oh, I will do this. Oh, I will do that. Oh, you know, I will use my faith and all that. Whereas God's not leading them in that direction at all. And then they presumptuously go into that kind of thing. And many times they get hurt. You know, because they're walking in presumptuousness, not taking time to find out what the will of God is. Then number four, so I've got four of them here. There's idolatry. I would say idolatry, fornication, presumptuousness, then murmuring. That's the, and I mentioned that at last, last in the list, you know, complaining. And the root of it is unbelief. The root of complaining is on. Because if you believe God is going to provide for you, you won't complain. You're complaining because you don't trust that God can help you and deliver you from the situation. Let me use a specific example in the Bible. Moses sends out 12 spies to go and spy out the promised land. The 12 of them come back. 10 of them had an evil report. 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, had a good report. And what was the report? The report was simply this, that it is true the land is a great land. Exactly what God said. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. They even brought out some of the grapes from the land, you know. However, there are giants in the land. The walls of the cities are so high, there is no way we can overcome those giants. You know what happened that night? When they came back, the whole camp began to cry. Everybody began to murmur. You know, the elders stood up and they began to complain about Moses, and they wanted to stone them. Moses and Aaron said, hey, you brought us here to come and make us perish in this place and let these sons of Anak, let them kill us. They murmured, they complained, they murmured, they complained. God got tired of it and said, Moses, move. I will finish these people. They have complained these 10 times. Every time. Can you imagine the magnitude of the miracles God did? I mentioned them earlier on. This was even when they were in Goshen, before they came out of Egypt. All the different plagues, and God protected them, they forgot. Then they now came out. You know, God gave them manna. He gave them, you know, manna from heaven. He gave them the rock that provided the water and everything. But every time there was a problem, they would complain. They always forgot. And you know, we do the same thing. Check your Christian life. God will do us a great miracle. Then you come against another problem and say, oh God, why this again? Hey God, how am I going to overcome this? You've forgotten the one that God did just 2 weeks ago. And we allow ourselves to be filled with the present problem. You know, instead of seeing things from a divine perspective, we only see the little problem that is in front of us. Then we now make a mountain out of a molehill. That's what Satan does. He tries to paint a bigger picture of something that is, you know, that we can easily overcome. And God doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want us to be, you know, to be always, to be complaining. And the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other, they saw exactly the same thing the other people saw. They saw the same cities. They saw the same sons of Anak. They saw the same giants. They saw everything. But they said, they are bread for us. Because they saw a bigger God. Because they remembered what God did in Egypt. They remembered what God did to Pharaoh and his chariots. These Anak are not even as strong as Pharaoh and his chariots. As the God who delivered us from Pharaoh, he would deliver us. He said, they have bread for us. Give them, you know, give me this mountain. That's what Caleb said. He said, let us go up at once. But the difference between why Joshua and Caleb didn't complain, why they didn't murmur, was that Joshua and Caleb had faith. The others didn't. All they saw was the giants. They couldn't see the God that was bigger than the giants. Let's say it another way. They couldn't see who he was invisible. What are you looking at? Are you just looking at the problem you're having? Or are you looking at the God who is bigger than the problem? Yes, the problem. I'm not denying the problem is there. But the God who I serve is bigger than that problem. And as I walk with him and as I talk with him and as he gives me wisdom and power, I will overcome this problem. Hallelujah. The root of murmuring and complaining is unbelief. He says they were overthrown in the wilderness because they didn't believe. Book of Hebrews. So these are the four deadly sins. Idolatry. Today is covetousness. This one, Pastor G, is so endemic because people think it is faith. Faith for material and paradise, you know, and those things now become an idol. I remember as a young Christian, you know, we're believing for a Datsun 280Z. I've told you this story before. You know, a friend of mine, you know, and we'll be making our confession, you know, spiritual childishness. You know, and so, you know, because you have to visualize yourself inside the Datsun 280Z. So you are confessing it every day. So that thing now becomes the picture in your heart. So the 280Z now became the idol. Needless to say, it never came. Thank God. Because, you know, we used to pray in the spirit. That was why. Do a lot of praying spirit. We're going to talk get that in a minute. You know, so he never came. But this same person, many years later, God's blessed him. He has far better cars than that now. But this 30 years later. Are you listening to me? But at that time, it was stupid. It was foolish. It was covetousness. And what were we doing? We're only copying the guys we heard from in America. You go to America, go to Kenhagen Capital, you hear one guy, he believed God and he got a Cadillac in 2 weeks. So you come to Nigeria now, you want a 280Z in also 2 weeks. It was foolishness, you know, it's idolatry. So you always watch physical things, desires. Do it the way, let me keep it simple. You know, do it the way Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. And these are the other things we added onto you. I've shared my testimony. I've never sat down to pray for a particular kind of car and material thing. I don't. Now, do I operate principles? Of course I do. I pay my tithe and all of that. If I believe in God for something, I trust God for it. You know, pray in the spirit. And I let God take care of the details. I don't go and sit down and start saying, I want a Mercedes. Or I want this or I want that. You know, don't get materialistically minded with your faith. Use your faith to develop the character of God. And the material things you need will be supplied. And trust me, God has far better taste than you. God has, when God is going to give you this, God will give you something that's even better than you could even have thought of. Without you becoming covetous. So that's number one. You know, so that's what we need to watch for. Now, why? Look at verse 12. Why do we need to be careful about these deadly sins? Wherefore? I didn't hear you. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he. Once you think you can stand by your own power, you can easily fall. You know, and the amazing thing, or rather the instructive thing about this, is that sadly, we look at the children of Israel and we say, those people, how could those people behave like that? You know, when you saw the miracles that God did, and we forget that we're doing exactly the same thing. So let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Take heed to what? Take heed to himself and to the doctrine. Take heed to the warnings of the prophets. Take heed to the word of God. And you will stand. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Don't you never say you will stand. I didn't hear you say it convincingly. I said you will stand. You will not fall. Because you will take heed to yourself. You will take heed to the doctrine. You will take heed to the mercy of God. You will take heed to the grace of God. And you will stand. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. But you got to take heed. It's not automatic you will stand if you don't take heed. See, everything in the Bible is conditional. That's another thing people don't like to hear. They want these free tickets where you don't have to do anything except to give some charlatan some money, you know, and then you think, it doesn't work like that. All the things of God are conditional. But you know the good news? God has given you the power to fulfill the condition. that it might be by grace that the promise may be sure to all the seed. So by the grace of God, you can keep the condition and get the promise. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. I don't have to worry about the conditions. I'm not going to keep the conditions by my own power. I yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. The mercy of God, by grace and mercy of God, I keep the condition and then the promise is sure to me. Are you listening to me? All this thing operates by faith, folks. Faith in the grace and the mercy of God. Hello? Okay. Now, how do we do this? How do we overcome? Because I want to be very positive. How do we overcome these deadly sins? You see the answer in verse 13. Verse 13 says, there hath no temptation. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Everybody scream that. Who will not allow you, the word suffer is old English, allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also what? Make a way to escape so that you'll be able to what? Bear it. So chill. Don't you never say chill. You will overcome any deadly sin. You will overcome it. You will overcome it because God will provide for you a way of escape. Now, what is the way of escape? It's a very simple thing. Watching and praying. You see, Luke 21:36. It was using the application of the end time, but it has universal application in this context. He says, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to what? Escape. Not only escape the tribulation, escape temptation. Amen. He said, God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are, but he will make a way that you'll be able to escape. That way is watching and praying. If you will watch and pray, you will escape every temptation. You will. The reason why we don't escape temptation is because we don't watch and pray. Jesus said in another way, Matthew 26:40. When Peter was sleeping, he said, what? Could you not watch me 1 hour? He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. In other words, the way of escape of not enter is by watching and praying. If you watch and pray, you will not enter into temptation. And in particular, if you watch and pray always, then you will always overcome all temptations. It's called perfection. That's what it is. You will always, once if you develop the habit of watching and praying always, by the time temptation comes, you already have the spiritual power, you have the spiritual wisdom, you have the spiritual insight to be able to overcome it. See, most people wait until the temptation comes. You should see it afar off. So you've already dealt with it before it comes. So when it comes, just overcome it. I'm not talking to anybody here. Watch always. You know, this is one of the favorite scriptures of our people. You know, watch, the flesh is willing, and the spirit is willing, and the flesh is weak. As if Jesus was giving them a free ticket. Say, well, you know, Jesus, it was Jesus who said so. The flesh is, the spirit is willing. No! He was telling you exactly how to overcome the weakness of the flesh by watching and praying. He wasn't saying you should fall for the weakness of the flesh. That's not what he was saying at all. Hello, somebody. As an example of wrongly dividing the word of truth or handling the word of God deceitfully. Hey, you just go and zero in on the last part of the scripture that says the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. So when something happens, you know the Bible says the spirit is weak. Oh, my God. We've got to close. Okay, 2 or 3 more verses. So what do we do? Now, the Lord gave me something that will really help you. How many remember the Lord's Prayer? Do you remember that phrase, and lead us not into temptation? How many people know it's in the Lord's Prayer? Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank God for my Anglican background. It's still intact. It's still intact. I understand. And it's a great prayer. It's a great prayer. So there's a part of that prayer that says, lead us. Now, let's ask a rhetorical question. Does God lead people into temptation? Of course not. The Bible says, if any man is tempted, let him not say he's tempted of God. Now, you see, that's why you need to know the whole Bible. You see, or you can just go and take one verse and twist it and make it say what it doesn't say. All right? Now, so what happens here? What God is saying is this. If you will learn to pray properly, you will avoid a lot of temptation. So when he's saying lean on temptation, what is it's actually better rendered, you know, Lord, help me avoid temptations. You can avoid temptation. You find this in the book of Proverbs, you know, where he says, don't go near her house. Particularly for fornication and all the sexual sins. The Bible says, don't go near, avoid it. Give it to me. Proverbs chapter 5. And look at verse 8. It was Luke 11 to 4 that says that. He says, remove thy way, what? Is it far? Or near? Far! He's talking symbolically about a woman, but he's talking about circumstances. Don't, especially young people, the Bible says, flee youthful lusts. Now, all of us have lost. David committed his own when he was an old man, so it wasn't useful. You know, because you are elderly doesn't mean... Talk to me, somebody. Amen. So, you know, that means God have mercy on me. Now, listen to me, folks. What do? You avoid it. Look at it. Remove thy way, what? Come not, what? Nigh. Some people are so foolish. Young boys and young girls. You know, it doesn't really mean anything. We're just having fun, you know, and you know, we just, you know. Fact, pastor, you don't believe me. God sees my heart. I didn't want to do anything like that, you know, just being nice. The Bible says, remove your way far! Far from her. Don't go near the door of her house. In other words, avoid compromising circumstances. Flee fornication. You know, don't even allow. I've told you my testimony. I don't want to go into long stories because of time. You know, well, as a young man when I was in Imperial College, you know, I was just a relatively new Christian that time. You know, I had a girl that I met, you know, at the embassy in those days and all of that. She came to come and see me. God said, don't let her come to your room. And I didn't. I was not binding the devil when the devil is already inside. You should wallet don't have a bind. I was in a postgraduate hall. You know, we had phone intercom. They called me from downstairs and said, so person is looking for you. Can she come up? God said, she must not come here. So I said, no, tell her to wait in the lobby. So I went downstairs and then went to some like hamburger, I forgot what they called, you know, Wimpy Bar, you got it. You know, went to Wimpy Bar, sat down, and I said, look, I'm a Christian now, and we can't have this relationship. And that's the last time I saw her. It's been 40 something years now. You know, now the point is this, avoid it! The people who live above these things is not because they are supermen. Yes, sir. And not because they are angels. Yes, it's because they are wise.
Amen.
Don't go near the door of our house. I've told young people, if you're with a girl, you know, or a boy, you know, opposite sex or same sex, everything's gone upside down now. Allah Ashanuwa. Mugbeloti Daru. You know, what do you do?
stay in an open place. Even if you want privacy, you can have it in a park. Amen. Somebody was laughing over there. There's a little, because there's a chair in the park. Everybody can, people are passing, but you are having your privacy talking. You want to talk private? Talk private in an open place. And start locking yourself in one room somewhere. Then you want to bind the devil. So you avoid, thank you. You flee from all, not evil, appearance. It will help you. It helped me as a young man. You know, I never allowed myself to be in a room alone with a woman who is not my wife or my children. Where I learned it from? I learned it from, firstly, the first person I actually heard say that thing was Gordon Lindsay. Many of our generation doesn't. Gordon Lindsay has been dead for so many years. He died in 1973. Great man of God that was using the Pentecostal movement, the voice of healings. You know, he was a mentor to people like Kenneth Hagin and others. You know, great man. You know, I read his books. You know, as a young Christian, he said, never allow yourself to be alone in a room with a woman who is not your wife. I just took that little wisdom. And that's what I have done all these years, and God has kept me pure. It's not because I'm a superman, no. And it's not because I'm not tempted. It's because I'm just, by the grace and the mercy of God, wise. Don't do it. You want to talk? As they came for counseling. I don't counsel women alone. I'll call my wife or call another pastor, and then he's in an open place. It's just common sense. So, first prayer, before you pray to overcome temptation, pray to avoid it. Pray to avoid temptation. And that's what happens. I'm getting ahead of myself because I want to close. That's what happens when you do a lot of praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, remember the scripture, it says, it's in Romans chapter 8. Let's go there. Well, just quickly jump to Proverbs chapter 7. You know, I think it's verse 8 too. He said, I beheld amongst the young men, you know, from my window and casement, void of understanding. Turn to your neighbor and say, I will not be void of understanding in Jesus' name. These are the people that fall. Simple. A simpleton. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. What did he do? Look at the next verse. Passing through the streets. Where? Near. The Bible says, come not near. This fellow went near. And he did what? He went the way of her house. You know what? He set himself up. At this point, the woman had not even appeared. We always blame the woman and say, it's the woman that made the man fall. No, the man made himself to fall by going the way of her house. He was the one, but he set himself up. If he had not gone the way of her house, you know, and he did not go through the street near her corner, when she came out, you know, with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart, she would not have seen him. He would have avoided the temptation. Avoid it. Young people, elderly people, all of us, avoid it. Avoid it. Avoid it. When you travel, businessmen, you know, it's not that you're alone, you know, you're in the hotel. Avoid it. Amen. 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 Pastor Wally, God forgive you. Amen. It's true. In some, you go to some places, you know, you just see all these loose women all over the whole place. You know, avoid it. In some place, they even come and knock you on the door and say, do you need extra service? So we have some special services in this hotel. Avoid it. Just don't even allow it to come near you. That is why it's always wise to travel with somebody. When you can't, sometimes you can't help that, you know, but be wise. Avoid it. And make sure you're calling your wife every 2 hours. You say, who is that voice? Simple common sense. Hello. Now, look at Romans chapter 8. Am I helping anybody here? If I'm helping you. See, I'm not condemning you. I'm helping you. See, this message is not called condemnation. You see, when this thing used to be preached years ago, it was preached from a condemnation point of view. No. I'm showing you how to overcome. Amen. And use your common sense and the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? Romans chapter 8, and look at verse 26. You know, scripture we all love. And I want it in the New International Version. It says, likewise, or say in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. How many people know Jesus said the flesh is weak? But he said the Spirit will help you. So that excuse is no longer tenable. Hello? Yeah, I know your flesh is weak, but the Bible said the Spirit will help your weakness. Colossians. How are you? Well, like Bible. the flesh is weak. But the Bible said the Spirit will help your weakness. So your flesh is no longer weak. Because the Holy Spirit has now been sent to help you. Amen. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with what? Groans. There's something I've sent to the pastors. I probably said, you know, some Crawford Dollar was preaching recently on groaning, you know, and some other guys, you know, God is now bringing, they're beginning to see what we have been preaching for 20 something years. And they explain, this is not tongues, it's inarticulate speech. We've taught it for years. With groans that word cannot what? Express. Next verse. Next verse, please. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind, or let's say it this way, the intention. Knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for who? Us. They're not sinners. It's me and you. Yes, sir. The saints in accordance with God's will. Amen. Verse 28. This is the scripture we love so much and misquote. And we know. In the King James, you know, it says all things work together. And then, you know, just Christians just say that in a silly way. Anything bad that happens, well, God will just, all things will just work. That's not what he's saying. It's the intercession in the Spirit that is going to cause all things to work together. You cannot get all things working together if you are not praying in the Spirit, and the Spirit is interceding through you and for you the will of God. Am I helping anybody here? So the apostle tells us, he said, and we know that in all things, don't you never say in all circumstances. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is how to avoid sin. That's why if you pray a lot in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will be working in your circumstances so that he will cause you to avoid many things that would have happened if you hadn't prayed. If you pray properly, there are some things that will never even come your way. Because you've avoided them by the Spirit. Are you listening to me? He's caused all the circumstances to work together for your good. So you don't go near the door of our house. You don't go near the street of our corner. You're not even in the environment and the circumstance that anything can happen. Am I talking to anybody here? So praying in the Spirit not only helps you to overcome sin, it helps you firstly to avoid sin. But we're not done yet. Now, back to the Lord's Prayer. We're going to close soon. Back to the Lord's Prayer. He said that, lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Watch this. You can avoid a lot of temptations, but you cannot avoid all of them. So, yes, because some will still come. Even Jesus, Bible says, was tempted in every way like as we are. Are you listening to me? But the good news is that if you don't avoid it and God allows it to come, then God will deliver you from the evil of it. So that's why it's a two-pronged prayer. Lead us not into temptation. And in case when temptation comes, deliver us from evil. Give all the clap offering. So he will deliver you from it. Because he knew you did everything to avoid it. You prayed, but it still came. But when it now comes, God now gives you the strength and the wisdom to overcome it. Hallelujah. And you see this, we're going to close with this. Romans chapter 8. Am I helping anybody here? The same Romans 8, but now we move up to verse 10. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Hello. Romans chapter 8, and look at verses 10 through 13. And we'll look at it, firstly in the King James, and secondly in the Amplified. You know, this is when the evil comes. When you couldn't avoid it. You tried, you did everything, and then, you know, Joseph, he avoided it. Then there was a day the thing came to him. Go and check the account. The Bible says that he will not even be with her. She will come to him every day. Lie with me, Potiphar's wife. You know, Bible says Moses would just, you know, Joseph would just ignore her, go somewhere else. So there was one day the evil came. But God delivered Joseph, didn't he? He delivered him. Amen. But you can see, Joseph was assiduous. He was diligent in avoiding it. He wouldn't even stay with her. He wouldn't stay with the woman. Whenever she comes, he comes to the sitting room and say, "Oh, please, madam, I have something to do in the other place." You know? And she was persistent. The Bible says, "The adulteress hunteth for the precious life." Have you seen lions hunting? They stalk their prey. They watch them. They won't attack you immediately. They can follow you for 2 days. They'll be watching. They'll be watching. They'll be watching. Watching your movements. Watching your movements. Tracking you. Until when there is a good time to pounce. You know, there's some women like that. And men like that. You know, we have no gender bias. Are you listening to me? We are gender neutral. You know the Bible is gender neutral. People with all this Me Too is already inside the Bible. Bible says in Christ there is no male or female. We're gender neutral. God's always been gender neutral. God's never preferred one sex above the other. God is righteous to everybody, boy and girl. So women stalk men, men stalk women. You know, and you know, just be planning. You know, and stalking and stalking and stalking. And the innocent person doesn't know. And then one day, boom, God will deliver you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Like, now, this is how God is. It says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." Let me paraphrase that. This physical body is spiritually dead because of the sin nature that is inside. But my spirit is alive because of the blood of Jesus that has cleansed me, so I have access to the life of God. This is what he's saying. Next verse. "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall" what? "Quicken" or "give life to your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." Watch the connection. You see this in verse 10, the initial verse. He said the body is dead, problem. But the spirit is life because of righteousness, beginning of the answer. So he says that because your spirit has access to the life of God, you can draw on that life, I'm paraphrasing, and then by the power of the spirit of God inside you, you can pump that life from your spirit into your mortal body. But you would not have been able to do it if your spirit didn't have access to the life of God. Is it clear? So let's look at this in the Amplified. Thank you. Amplified down. Am I helping anybody here? No. Verse 11. Go straight to verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ from this same resurrection life will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable body through his spirit. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. Because see now why you need to pray in tongues and groaning. It's pumping life into your mortal body. And look at the result. Verse 12. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. We are not obligated. I love that. Babapo. You know, he's a lawyer. So it is legal. He coached it in legal language. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. Nekashala. Give the Lord a clap offering somebody. I don't have to live like the world. You know, in the world, I say, I can't help this. Oh, my body, you know. You see, you don't have to live like that. The flesh cannot dictate to you. You dictate to it. You crucify it by the life of God. Are you listening to me? You don't have to. You are not a debtor. You don't have to live. You're not obligated to live to your carnal nature. Now, let's be. The Holy Ghost just brought something to me. You know, in other words, you're not obligated to idolatry. You're not obligated to presumptuousness. You're not obligated to fornication. You're not obligated to murmuring. All those deadly sins, you can overcome them by the same Holy Ghost who is inside you. Are you listening to me? Verse 13, and we close. But if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, he said, you will surely die. Oh, I know you are born again, you are spirit filled, but you will die. You will not die, you will live in Jesus' name. But don't you never say, but don't live out of the flesh. Oh. So that you're not like those guys in the wilderness. They were overthrown in the wilderness because they lived after the flesh. But you will live, you will not die. Are you listening to me? But if you through, I didn't hear you, the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitual. Everybody say habitually. Hebrews says it this way, by practice. You this is what you do every day, once every 6 hours. Every day you get up in the morning, you pray, you know, good morning, Jesus, you pray, you know, then during the day, once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, I say, by habitually. You know what's going to happen? Your flesh will get transformed. While you are doing all that habitual, you are avoiding. So you don't allow yourself to, you know, because you are still practicing. So you don't go and expose yourself to anything you can't handle. That's why we have lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Both. Am I helping anybody here? Habitually putting to death. I love the Amplified here. Making what? Extinct and deadening. The evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. So by using the life of God and praying spirit, you can push the life of God into your mortal flesh and you can deaden all those sinful stimuli. Make them extinct. You know what something is extinct? You've heard about extinct animals. You don't see them anymore. They don't exist anymore. Amen. Sin will no longer exist in your body. What a life. What a rough world. They lied to us. They told us it's not possible. So long as you are in this life. It's not. That's what the Bible says. Make it extinct. It disappears from your life. Completely. Then that's when you start really living. You haven't started living. You are living now. But you really enjoy life. Genuine life. Because the life of God, your spirit, your body now becomes a spiritual superconductor. I brought that from physics. But it's a very apt illustration. You know, you have things that are insulators and a conductor. An insulator allows electricity to, doesn't allow electricity to pass. A conductor allows electricity to pass. But even good conductors have a little bit of resistance. So you're still limited. But there are certain conductors, they are called superconductors. They have zero resistance. That's what they use in magnetic maglev trains. They are selling, they have them in Japan. They haven't become very commercial yet because there's still engineering problems and cost problems. But there's a lot of research going on and they're working on it. At the moment, most superconductors have to operate at very low temperatures. So you have to put them in liquid nitrogen. It's too expensive, you know, for commercial. But they work. It works. You have samples. So the thing is a complete superconductor. So when you put a current inside, there's no resistance. So it has a very powerful magnetic field. So you put a superconductor at the bottom of the train, then the rail too is a superconductor. So the two magnetic fields now, they repel each other. So the thing is sitting on air. Then the thing is, it moves faster than anything. No friction. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Now imagine your physical body becoming a spiritual superconductor. Then the woman, the issue of blood touches you. Immediately. Instantly. The Bible says, and instantly virtue went out of him and she was healed of that plague. Now as a man with a spiritual superconductor, and you are meant to be conformed to his image. Let us pray. Stand to your feet. Spiritual superconductor. Get all the sin out. Then everything that's inside your spirit can fly out. Amen. Nothing is hindering it. So when you say, the leper comes to you and says, you can heal me if I will, say, I will. Superconductor. What's hindering that thing now is the resistance inside our flesh. Sin. So it starts at 1,000 volts on the inside, but by the time it's getting outside, it's at 0.1 volts, so it can't heal anything. The resistance has taken up all the voltage. It's been dissipated in heat. So there's the amount of power that is useful, that's available for useful work is so small, because all of it is dissipated trying to overcome the resistance of sin. Get rid of the sin and things will flow. Come. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. These are not cunningly divine. I'm giving you reality. Because the person who is teaching me by the mercy of God is the spirit of reality. That's the Greek word for truth is reality. The Holy Ghost is called the spirit of reality. Christianity is reality. It's not cunningly devised fables. It's because we have not been taught, and we've been told these things are impossible. Of course they are possible. Have you not heard, and has it not been said, that with God all things are possible? Turn to your neighbor and say, with God superconductivity is possible. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. The man was a spiritual superconductor walking all over the whole place. That was why the miracles were just coming out. Pew! Bible says, if the miracles Jesus did were written, he said, the books, the world cannot contain the books. That's what superconductivity will produce. Become a superconductor. A spiritual one now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Everybody, talk to God. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Overcoming deadly sins. First of all, avoid them. Then secondly, if they do come, overcome them by the Spirit. Idolatry. Beware of covetousness. It's not everything they tell you, just eat it. No. If something is almost physical or material, ask yourself, what's the will of God? Can I handle this spiritually now? The easiest thing to do is what I taught you. Seek first the kingdom, and then let all those things be taken care of. Don't start chasing this car, and this house, and this, that, and that, you know. Just chill, folks. Amen? When the time comes, it's God who will bring it to you. My wife and I can give testimony after testimony. All the things we have today, you know, God used people to bring them to us. I was always minding my business, praying, you know, and so I was like, oh, Pastor, look at this thing is there, you know, and God, I know somebody wants to help you. And that's how we got them. I wasn't sitting in one place and have a picture of one house in my heart. Then I'm confessing the word of God until I'm blue in the face. Most of that is covetousness. Hello. Talk to God. Hello. You are the peace that guards my heart. My help in time of need. You are the hope. You are the hope that leads me on and brings me to my knees. For here I find you waiting, and here I find relief. So with all my heart I worship you, and unto you I sing. You alone deserve all glory. You alone deserve all praise. We worship and adore you. Father, we long to seek your face. All glory, you alone deserve all praise. Father, we love you, we worship you this day. You are the peace. Hallelujah. What a prayer. You are the peace that guards my heart, my help. Help in time of need. You are the hope, glory to God. You are the hope that leads me on and brings me to my knees. For here I find you waiting, and here I find relief. So with all my heart, I worship, and unto you I say, you alone deserve all glory, you alone deserve all praise. Father, we worship and see your face. You alone deserve all glory. You alone deserve all praise. Father, we love you and we worship you this day. Father, we love you. Worship you this Father, we love you.
Father, we love you, and we worship you this day.
Put one hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God. Respond in honesty to the word of God. These deadly sins are killing millions of Christians every day. Millions of Christians die in the wilderness, go to heaven prematurely. Some didn't even go to heaven, sadly. Not the will of God. You want to avoid covetousness, avoid presumptuousness, avoid fornication and type of sexual impurity, avoid murmuring and complaining. This very specific sins. All sin is bad, but God was very specific. And the foundation of complaint is unbelief. Avoid unbelief. See him that is invisible. Yes, you have problems, but the God who you have is bigger than the problem. And stop looking at the problems and looking at your God. How? By faith. You see him that is invisible. Let's talk to God. Raise that hand. Touch that heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, receiving your blood. In Jesus' name we have life, receiving your life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray, receiving your power. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. This word that has come to me this afternoon, reminding and encouraging me to overcome all deadly sins. Firstly, by avoiding them, by praying in the Spirit, so all things will work together for my good. So in my circumstances, the Holy Spirit will so arrange things that I even avoid them. And if peradventure they do come, I will have the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to overcome them. Oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy on me, O Lord. I don't think I stand. I'm trusting in your mercy and in your grace to stand. Your word says, have you done all to stand? Stand. And that's what I'm doing. By praying in the Spirit, taking the armor of love, the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, I'm praying in the Spirit, I am doing all to stand. And so I will stand. I will stand by your grace and mercy, and I will not fall. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name. No wonder the scripture says, pray without ceasing. God's not stupid, folks. I say that reverentially. Of course, God's not stupid. But you know what I mean is that when God tells you something, he knows the reason why. The instructions of the Bible are not just there for fun. If you pray frequently, without ceasing, you will avoid a lot of temptation. A lot of things a lot of problems we are facing, we should have avoided. We are fighting battles which we didn't need to fight. We could easily have avoided them just by the right kind of prayer. And even when they do come, the power to overcome them is there. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. As we go end 2018 and enter 2019, you are world overcomers. None of these deadly sins will overtake you. You will not fall. You will stand. Because by the mercy and the grace of God, you have been instructed. Put on the whole armor of God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always in the Spirit, you would have done all to stand. Say, having done all to stand, stand. You will not fall. I say you will not fall. I say you will not fall. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just pray for our healing. Very simple prayer. Just raise your hand. Touch your body. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. Receiving your blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Receiving your life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray to receive your power. Heavenly Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life, and power, I am healed. And I live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws
of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest in Jesus' name. I release into my physical body the life of God, into every cell, into the DNA of every cell, so that my DNA operates optimally the way God created it to operate, without any distortions or malfunctions, in the name of Jesus. All my cells behave themselves and function as God created them to, in the name of Jesus. I declare I am healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As I was praying, the Lord reminded me of an instruction. I've given it to you years ago. You know, most of the time we pray for healing at the end of the services like this, but sometimes we don't. You know, not because we don't want to, but sometimes things happen. You know. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that you individually pray for your health and your healing daily. This confession is a weekly confession. Then every day just say, Lord, I declare I am healed. And pray in tongues just for a few minutes. Maybe just a minute. Just make it a habit. I'll tell you why. There's an attack of the enemy to try and cut short the lives of people of God from their destiny. And one of the most effective ways is to kill them prematurely. So when he starts, he doesn't start on the outside with any big thing. See, most people are always looking for some big disease or something. No. It may not be Ebola or any, you know. No. It just starts at the cellular level. We have clinical physicians here, doctors. They will tell you, what is DNA? It's chemical bonds. It's just chemical bonds. It's just chemical bonds. What they've discovered is this. Practically every sickness can be traced back to the cellular level. What he just does is, the devil is a nice guy. He will just come and he will just take one electron, you know, and just hit it like that. Like you hit something, and it will just go out of its orbit. So go and form something else somewhere. So that particular cell, you know, or that particular chemical bond now becomes distorted. But that one won't, you won't feel anything in your body. You're still fine. Then there's another one tomorrow. Then there's another one next week. Then gradually like that, he begins to degenerate and distort some things at the cellular level. Then over a 6-month period, over a 1-year period, you go to the doctor and they say, ha! So, play dice with the devil. When he flicks you, to flick back.
Amen.
That's what you do when you pray daily. See, we always think that, you know, you pray for healing when you are sick. No! Pray for healing when you are well. Daily, weekly. I make confession of my healing for myself, my wife, my children, and even for all of you, you know, but that's my covering. But you still have to reinforce what I say. 1 million times zero is zero. 1 million times zero is zero. No matter how much covering you have, you know, and if what is coming against you is 10,000, you understand? And you're just putting out one or two. And then you get the covering with one or two, and you multiply, will overcome the 10,000. But you still have to put out something.
Amen.
this one, that one big man of God will come and wave one magic wand is a lie. So you pray. Pray for your healing. Don't play with it. It's a covenant right. Speak to your body every day. You are well. You are healed. DNA, you are fine. Cells, you are operating properly. In Jesus' name. I receive my healing and health in Jesus' name. And I pray in tongues. Because I don't know what to pray for. I don't know which DNA Satan flipped. But the Holy Ghost does. Give the Lord a clap offering. But the Holy Ghost does. So when he flips, the Holy Ghost too flips. Amen. There's no reason why Satan should just walk in and be killing us anyhow. There's no reason. Let's be diligent. Thank God for Good Morning Jesus. I know mommy makes all these prayers and confessions in Good Morning Jesus. Key your faith in. And don't let it end with Good Morning Jesus. After Good Morning Jesus, continue to pray. Continue to make your confession. Continue to pray. Continue to release those things into your body. We're going to have a generation of Christians, hallelujah, that Satan will be afraid of. Because they will put death under their feet. Thou shalt tread on the lion and the scorpion. Hallelujah. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Let's share the grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess your gate, the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. I say you will live and you will not die. You will live and you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life of God satisfied. And show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. In Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get this anointing. Say the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, amen. Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John are upon me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.